Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. Joining me today is Juliana.
Hello everyone.
And today is a special episode we're recording. You know what number it is?
What number is it?
It's 550. You do know what number it is.
550?
Yeah, 550 episodes. I've been doing this now for, what, like 50? No, well, since 2008. So what's that, coming up 16 and a half years or whatever now I've been doing this podcast.
That's 550. That's
like, which is a lot of episodes,
wow.
Right? It's a lot of episodes.
It's a lot.
A lot of episodes. Yeah, so what happened was a while ago, someone said this is Ryan, one of the various Ryans who chats to us on the SFPRP listener group on Goodreads.
Yeah.
He says, at the time of writing, the site has 20, the SFB site, I guess he means like the list of books that I review. That's a great thing. You can always go to sfbrp.com and click on episode list and you can see every book that
yes,
I reviewed here.
Yes, that is true.
It says it has 20 novels awarded 5-star rating from Luke. But I'm curious, what are the standout science fiction novels that come to mind when thinking of the genre? A quick correction there, Ryan, there isn't 20 5-star novels by Luke. One of them is a novella that Juliana gave 5 stars to.
Oh.
And some of them are repeated novels which have got 5 stars multiple times, and one of them, or two of them, or maybe one of them is just like wrapping up the series. You know, we said, oh, the culture series, 5 stars. So it's not quite, it's probably about 15 specific novels that have got 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 15 novels in, what did I just say, like 16 years of 550 episodes have got 5 stars.
Wow. That's,
not many.
No, it's not many. And it's a really high, like, if that is a book that gets 5 stars.
It's a high bar.
It's very much so.
So Ryan continues, personally, I have a lot of novels rated 4 stars that often get cited for ideas that they've tackled but not explored well enough to justify a higher rating. And on the flip side, there are novels that I've rated 5 stars because of the execution of what the author wanted to do and my enjoyment of reading them were without fault, and I never mentioned for various reasons. So in other words, sort of like, what are you giving your rating for? I've always said that it's purely about my subjective rating.
Mm-hmm.
If I enjoy a book 5 stars, it gets 5 stars,
yeah.
Even though technically there might be something wrong with it. And even if technically a book should be worth 5 stars in every other kind of measure, but if I don't enjoy it fully, it doesn't get 5 stars.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of things like Hyperion and Piranesi, where I'm like, this is a 5-star book, and I'm kind of annoyed that I'm not getting 5 stars out of enjoyment out of it. You know, I've mentioned that a few times. So he says, I think I'm asking this question in an attempt to determine what Luke and fellow SFBRP listeners, in this case, Juliana, would deem classic science fiction or must-read science fiction. That's like must-read in quotation marks. That isn't simply regurgitating what the many top SF novel lists are that are going full of golden ages tales that aren't readable or relevant now.
Hmm.
There are novels like the Planetfall series that I would argue should be read by old and new fans, whilst works like authors like Philip K. Dick that really shouldn't be brought up in discussions of the great feats, ideas that the genre is capable of. Then there's a book like Calculating Stars, which is possibly the most mentioned novel on the SFBRP, despite Luke's hatred of it. Didn't hate it, it was just the most disappointing book. So what stories for you stand out as the best of what the genre can do, or leave such an impression on a reader that they can't help but mention them in literary conversations?
Oh,
so
nice.
Thank you very much to Ryan for pretty much saying, hey, what you should do is an SFBRP masterworks list, or that's how I kind of interpret it. So we can't use SFBRP masterworks because that's very much like the Golan's SF masterworks. It sounds too much to say same, like, so we can just bring different things here. What's the so I'm going to call this list the SFBRP must reads list.
Okay.
But it's going to be in quotation marks, so you don't have to read this, but I think if you read the novels that I'm going to talk about today, I'm not even going to talk about them, the novels that I'm going to list today and maybe say one or two words about each of them, I think if you do that, you do get the best of what the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast has to offer, or what Luke and Juliana think science fiction is, in a way which is like worthy of which books that are either relevant today or are from a long time ago and still hold up and still stand up to this day.
We have actually been asked a few times in the past by people, hey, I'm new to the genre.
Yeah.
Where should I start? Like what is the stuff that I need to read to really understand the essence of the genre? So I think maybe that is a good starting point list for people who want to start out. And
yeah, this could be that list.
Yeah.
However, it might not be. I would say read books on this list that look like they interest you.
Yeah.
But if you start one and immediately think, oh no, this isn't doing it for me, stop straight away, because there's quite a few books on this list which are like, and I've mentioned this before, books written specifically for Luke, or yeah, books which are really, really good if you're like 43, 44 years old, British male, and grew up reading science fiction in the 1990s, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there's some books which aren't, which I still still hold up today, but aren't, you know, universally applicable.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is, this is a biased list, biased by Luke Burridge, who is making the list.
Yeah, okay, let's go through
this. So
this is, I've just off the top of my head, well, not off the top of my head, after thinking about it for about a month or whenever this was posted, when did Ryan post this? Yeah, June the 11th. So I've had, you know, I've had like 2 months now to think about this.
Yeah.
So you put your list down a second, because I do want to explain something to you here.
Okay.
What are you doing? Oh, you're just looking up your how many books you put on your list. Okay,
yes.
Well, I'll talk about your list in a second.
Okay,
but with this list, so this is a reading list. Oh, I even wrote here, wanting an introduction to the best of science fiction. I wouldn't say it's the best science fiction, but it's like a best of science fiction.
Right,
and there's a difference between a best of and a best.
Yes,
because sometimes like one writer is just the best, but you can't put like every hit by like this one author or this one musician, you know. You're gonna go, oh, well, it can't just be like, if it's the best of this, it's like, well, it's all the songs on their best album or whatever.
So, it also can be like an entrance point to that author.
Yeah.
Like if you read that book and you find it good, you can continue with other books by that author.
Yeah. So I wanted more than just the 15 books that Luke and Juliana have rated 5 stars.
Yeah.
I also wanted it to be not like overwhelming, so I thought about 50. I was thinking about 40, and then I was like, oh, this is episode 550, so I don't mind it being 55. And then I settled on 52. So the idea being, hey, read one book a week or something. I don't know. Anyway, around about, I was thinking between 40 and 55, and 52 is good. But here's the thing, I've left it so there's a little bit of room.
Okay. Like,
so if we do want to go up to 55 after 550 episodes, so we can do that. So it has to be, first of all, science fiction. Or fantasy with science fiction trappings or underpinnings.
Yeah.
Which I'll get onto when I get onto some of those things as well. It has to be a novel. However, there are two or three exceptions to it. It has to be a novel.
Okay.
The book has to be rated on the SFBRP 4 to 5 stars. So it's either a 5-star novel or at least a 4-star novel.
Yes.
There are two exceptions to that as well.
Okay.
It must have been reviewed on the Science Fiction Book Review podcast. There are two exceptions to that too. Importantly, it has to stand the test of time. So it either has to be recent enough that you can still be like, oh yeah, I read it and like my mind hasn't changed too much in the last, say, 10 years since the book came out. Or it has to hold up in terms of like quality wise.
Yeah.
Now this comes a lot because I was looking through the recent books that were I was just doing reviewing. If you actually look at the recent books that I did, what this Algis Budrys Rogue Moon,
mm-hmm,
I gave that 1.5 stars.
Yeah.
And but over here it's here on the SF Masterworks list.
Okay, what actually is that?
Oh, it says it was an Orion Publishing Group, a subsidiary of Hachette UK, started in January 1999,
mm-hmm,
to put out a series of books, like one per month. What's that? January, February, March. Yeah, one book per month.
Yeah.
As they go through, as the calendar goes on, and it's a book that they consider to be a masterwork, and then they would publish it. So, The Forever War is the first one here.
Yeah.
I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Cities in Flight. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? The Stars My Destination. So, in other words, books that you've probably, you know, read about, or you've either read or you read about, or are held up as, you know, great books or well-known books, golden age books and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so they did that for, what's that, 73 books all leading up to The Man in the High Castle. They're not published in any order.
Mm.
I mean, I could probably sort this into order of original publication of the original novel.
Yeah.
But they weren't published in that way, just sort of like lots of different things, lots of different versions. I know, just it's sort of like a new printing of the book that they get rights to print, reprint the book.
Yeah, and so of course that also means that they would have to get the rights. So if they're you can't take this as the definite.
Yeah, but if a book's that old, anyone can get the rights to reprint it by a local regional book publisher as
and
well.
And as you say, it stops at a certain point.
Well,
so it doesn't
they stopped at that point, and then they did hardcover versions. There's like 10 hardcover versions, and then in 2010 they started reissuing them and adding to the list. Again, it starts off with the Forever War, I Am Legends. You know, they publish like 10 books at once, and then every month or every month they publish one or two more books in this series. These are then not numbered. So a lot of them are repeats from that first series, but you see, it's just like just keeping up with the publishing. So books you don't go into the bookshop and pick a book and say, like, well, this book's from 2001 and it's a reprint of like a book from 1950. This can't be very relevant. So, you know, it's continuously republishing them. And when do they still? Oh, yeah, look, they're still all the way up to October 2023 was the last time some of these books have been published.
Cool.
So that's what the Masterworks is. But again, what is Rogue Moon doing on there? A book that I gave 1.5 stars to and doesn't hold up at all, and you know, is just kind of a book about awful people doing awful things.
Yeah.
And the science fictional stuff is really unsatisfying, and it's like super sexist. It might as well. But what did I say? Mansplaining the book. I can't even remember what I called it. Does it still have something to contribute today is another thing to do. So even if it's old and it might not hold up, it still has to contribute. I must have read it recently enough to see that it holds up. That's important.
Okay.
So some books I haven't read and reviewed since like 2008, which again, I've been doing this podcast for a long time now.
So what does recently mean?
Again, I've made another note. Must have had enough of an impact on me that I remember reading it.
Okay.
So there was this one book, China Mountain Zhang. I'm like, yeah, this is a book that keeps turning up on these best of lists. And I rated it really highly. And it's in the Masterworks list.
Yeah.
And it won, you know, Hugo's and Nebula's and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I have no memory of, I can't remember what the book was about. I can't remember what the author has written. I can't remember anything else by the author. I can't remember even the topic of the book. I just don't remember it. Is it even science fiction? Could it be fantasy? I just don't know.
Right.
And this is a book that I gave like 4.5 stars to or 4 stars to. And honestly, I don't remember anything about it.
Okay.
So it doesn't make my list.
Sure.
If it has that little impact on me. Is an important book, like I say, is it in an existing Masterwork list, a Hugo, a Nebula, a Hugula, which means it won both the Hugo and Nebula, an Arthur C. Clarke Award or other things like that, or something important, you know, well-known.
Right.
And finally, would I recommend it to everyone and anyone? Again, there's a few exceptions to that, but I think we'll mention those as we get to it.
Okay.
So to make sure I didn't miss anyone, I looked at quite a few different greatest science fiction books of all time, some other lists about it.
Yeah.
And there were a few people who I'm leaving off this list, but not that many. Like, I typed into Google greatest science fiction authors of all time, and as I looked through, I was like, okay, I'm getting them, and the authors that I'm not getting, whatever. Like,
okay.
Not everyone can make it onto the
list.
So
you don't claim any sort of full...
No, this is not exhaustive,
and
there's lots of authors who make the list a number of times.
You know,
some people make the list 3 or 4 times, I think. So the key idea that I've had to talk about the ordering of this group is that instead I could just go through all the books in chronological order. Kind of boring.
Chronological in SFBRP?
I could have done that. Like when I read them, I could do it like when I reviewed them. But in this case, I'm doing it when they were first published is what I mean by chronologically.
Oh, okay.
Like when the book was first published.
Right.
But I thought I wouldn't do it that way. I came up with this idea of chaining books together or grouping books together, mm-hmm. not just by like genre or subgenre, but kind of like what the books contribute to each other.
Right.
But the first book in each one of these is going to be the oldest book. So each group is done chronologically. And I'm going, putting the first book mentioned in any of the groups chronologically as well.
Okay.
Which means that as different ideas come into science fiction, they'll be kind of later on in the book.
Yes.
But it's not like, first you've got to read The Time Machine, then you've got to read War of the Worlds. It's like, no, there's other books in between there, which kind of are playing in the same space as The Time Machine, mm-hmm. and then the next section. So that's it. That's my introduction.
Right.
Any questions?
How do my books fit in there?
Well, here's the thing. I asked you to make a list, your own masterworks list, yep. not of books that you think are masterworks, but books that you think that I would think are masterworks, or books that you think would be one of these science fiction book review podcast masterworks on this list.
Okay, well, there are a few books that I already know that you wouldn't put on there, but I would put on there. So, okay. Yes, mostly general like books I think would be on it, but then one or two that I think should go on there, but you wouldn't put them on there.
You don't think I would put them on there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. Shall we go through?
Yeah.
The science fiction must read list. Let's no, what was go. I going to call it? Must read list?
Must.
I think yeah. there's.
What you said.
Yeah. Classic science fiction. Or so, either way, we'll come up with the. By the end of this, we'll come up with the. I like must reads. SFBRP okay. must read, or must read SF books, according to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. Or
that's
Luke.
Very long.
Luke's thing is, Masterworks is such a good title, but it's like it's taken already. Yeah, I can't just use somebody else's list like that.
Luke's Science Fiction Book Essentials.
I wouldn't even call them essentials. Must reads. I like must reads.
Okay, well then
must reads and introductions and masterworks. Right, let's go. I'm going to bring up, because I'm Luke, I have a spreadsheet. You're not allowed to look at the list.
I can't. It's so small.
Oh yeah, actually, it's quite
far
away.
There's no way that I can read that.
All right, let me turn my microphone slightly so I can look at this one. Okay, so first up, from 1895, I've already given it away.
Yes.
It's H.G. Wells and The Time Machine.
Okay.
Any questions about that?
I don't think so.
No?
Should there be questions about that?
No. I mean, I last reviewed this book in 2009, which was quite a long time ago, but I've read it like four times or something like that.
It's one of those things that is just also very influential on on the whole thing.
Yeah, of course.
On every other book that comes after.
And I rated it 4.3 stars on the SFBRP.
Yeah.
Goodreads rating, 3.89 stars. So it's not actually that highly rated in terms of like average rating on Goodreads.
Mm.
I'm just using that as like a, you know, what's the consensus kind of thing about it. But I think it's just quite old. So you might think that this is going to be in the time travel section or the time travel grouping.
Okay. But it's not?
No, I'm actually going to bring up a grouping of deep future / after humans.
Okay.
So this is a book where there is time travel, but it's mostly like what's going to happen really deep into the future.
Right.
And I think there's two books which would go together with this. Again, they're not copying this. They're not even time travel books, but they're two books where you go, all right, deep into the future and there's no longer humans anymore. What is there now in that deep future?
Okay.
So book number two.
Yeah.
Is Samuel R. Delaney, The Einstein Intersection from 1967.
Okay.
And this is a book that I gave 4.5 stars to. I read it twice. I think I read it once and then immediately read it again and then reviewed it. It's really, really impacting. And this is set in a far distant future. And you think at the start, oh, all these people that we're talking to are humans, but they're not humans. They're aliens who have taken over, like humans have deserted Earth and aliens have taken over what humans used to do on Earth.
Right.
And are replaying the lives of humans and the myths of humans.
I now do remember that.
You remember this
book?
Yeah. Really good. I reviewed it like 2 years ago, 4.5 stars. This is actually the lowest rated book of all of these on Goodreads at 3.55 stars. And a lot of people tried to read this, but I think it was The Sword and Laser did it as one of their early book club books.
Yeah.
And it became legendary that people just didn't get into it. So this is one of those books that I think is really great. And also a reason why I don't think this should be, you shouldn't ever read these in order. I'm just giving these books in this order.
Right.
Because people are going to bounce off this hard. And if this is the second book in the list, it's going to be very difficult for people to go
to. Why did you put it there?
Because I think it's a masterwork and I think it's like one of the best kind of books of its type.
Okay, cool.
If you want deep future literary dick swinging, it doesn't get any better than this.
Right.
So, and the final book in the deep future / after humans grouping is Diaspora by Greg Egan. I gave it 5 stars. It's one of those rare 5-star books on the SFBRP. And that is no humans in this, but everything happens like in computer simulations of humans in the far future. And it just goes, right, what's going to happen like in the future? And then thousands of years, it just keeps going into the future. It's very, very clever.
Right.
So yes, I last read this in 2018. Again, it's one of those books that I've read multiple times. And the second time I read it, I was like, I remember really enjoying this. Is it going to hold up? And in 2018, on the second read through, it held up so much, I gave it 5 stars.
Nice.
So it makes it into the SFBRP must read list.
Right. There's a book that I would now think that could fit there, but I don't know your list,
okay.
So I find it really difficult to intersect mine.
What would your book be?
You recently read I Who Have Never Known Men, right? And I read it too afterwards.
I think what we should do is wait for the post-apocalyptic area
that was
for that
what
one.
I wanted to know, because, you know, where would that fit? Would that fit in? Where would that fit in?
Yes.
Okay.
It will fit in. Should
Good.
We move on?
Yes.
Okay, next up, Alien Invasion. We're going to go for this, the next section.
Yeah.
The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells from 1898.
Of course.
Of course. Of course, it's right here. I gave it 5 stars. This is one of the things where I was sure that I'd reviewed it on the SFBRP, because it always turns up on the SFBRP episodes list page. Turns out it was an episode that was on of the SFF audio podcast.
Oh, right.
And
we talked it was a about special it. Episode.
Yeah, it's like, well, it wasn't a special episode. I was just on that episode and we talked about the book, and it was back when I was, you know, guesting on the podcast a while. So anytime that I'm on the like Reading Envy podcast or the SFF audio podcast and we talk about, like, it's an episode not about loads of different books, but about like one specific book.
Yeah.
It's on the SFBIP episode list page.
Yeah.
So I'm including it here.
Okay.
So gave it 5 stars, or it's definitely for me a 5-star book.
Very
I've read it so many times that I even wrote myself. I never finished it, never shared it, but I wrote an entire retelling of The War of the Worlds from the point of view of one of the aliens inside the machines and inside the alien bodies of the... Anyway, so it's a fun thing.
Fun.
Never actually got it finished.
Fun so, idea.
And I'm going to follow this up with the follow-up to Alien Invasion, which is Peter F. Hamilton's Pandora's Star and Judas Unchained.
Yes.
And that is...
on my list too.
Yes. Is it on your list too?
Yes.
That's from 2004. That book, the first book came out. We reviewed it in 2014. And I think you read it, and that it was because you read it. And we talked about both books together on that episode.
Yes.
So, yeah.
There are some things that I think are a bit...
What?
With the content of it, but the essence and the ideas that are just mind blowing, and the world building. Oh my god!
It's got one of the best introductions of any alien, bad alien thing, where they literally go, "All right, at the beginning of time, there was cellular life. Now let's go all the way back and rebuild an alien species from nothing, from the ground up, and then make them invade." Future human stuff. So that's my two Alien Invasion ones.
Okay.
Again, there's overlap. There's other things with alien invasions in other of these ones as well.
I have one that would maybe fit there as well.
Oh yeah, what do you think?
How about Rosewater?
Rosewater, could have made my list. It just didn't. I know that's weird to say, but I think that the first book isn't enough of a standalone book, and it would be like, oh yeah, the whole Rosewater trilogy. And while I enjoyed it, I don't think people in, like, when was this book written? 2004? 20 years later, are we going to be like, you've definitely got to read the Rosewater trilogy from 2019 or wherever it came out. Maybe we will. I'm just saying it feels a little bit too recent.
What I like about that is that it gives a really interesting a new point of view on alien invasion and just
alien turning up kind of stuff.
Nigeria.
Yeah.
So that has such a different cultural grounding to it. And I thought that was what this makes it so...
It would have been on the long list.
On my list.
If this was a list of 60 books, that would probably make it on there.
Okay.
Again, just because I enjoyed it a lot. All right. The next up is Dystopia. Should we go to the next book, Dystopia?
Yeah.
George Orwell, 1984, written in 1948.
Yes.
So
that was on my list.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I was thinking, like, okay, what should come on my list? Come on my list, very influential things that you should read to understand references, to get other books and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then how much would I now enjoy going back reading it?
I gave it a 4.9 stars. It's a really good book.
It should be on a list.
It should be on the list. Also, we just read that Julia book, which I also highly rated.
You read it. I didn't.
That can't make it onto the list because that's like a directly derivative. But either way.
1984.
Next up, I'm going to give it a book which I gave 4.5 stars to back in 2012. But it's still very fresh in my mind. It's The Wool Omnibus, or Wool, you know, Silo, yes. Silo number one by Hugh Howey.
Yes.
He wrote it in 2012. It was published in 2012. Yeah. I gave it 4.5 stars.
Yes.
Again, quite highly rated on Goodreads. Made into a TV show. I guess there's season two is coming out soon. Yeah. I was not sure. So anyway, that's a dystopia. That's what I like. Or like a, you know, like a closed dystopia. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's lots and lots of books which are like set underground or set on a spaceship and everything is like, you know, controlled and, you know, small and things like that.
No, it's very good. I agree.
Next up, one of the most recent books on the list, which is The Space Between Worlds by Makaya Johnson, another dystopia book.
Yeah.
And it's like different levels of dystopia because it's like multiple worlds kind of book.
Yeah.
And each place that she goes into is like a different kind of dystopia.
Yeah.
So I gave it 4.5 stars. Slightly lower rated, but I think that would be a book that in 20 years' time you could probably point at and say, yeah, that's, you know, from 2021, that still holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good. It's on my list too.
It's on your list too?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Next up, we've got like kind of a big category here. Most of these categories have got like 2 to 3. This has actually got 4 in it, and it's post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with 1949's Earth Abides.
Okay.
And Earth Abides is a book by George R. Stewart. And it's another one of the books that I thought was an SFBRP. It's even labeled as a SFBRP.
Yeah.
And then when you click on it, it's like me and Jesse talking about a book for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And really affecting book. And it's, I think it would be, let me just put it out there. If you want a book which is like not too, it's not about... what was the book that we were talking about recently? Oh, yeah, like The Road, which is sort of like, oh, it's post-apocalyptic and everyone's eating everyone. It's not like that. It's a lot more It's a lot more gentle than that. I think I would have to go back and read this book again, and it's on my to-read list because I did read it in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 14 years ago I read it.
Yeah.
But it's a book from 1949, so I'm sure if it held up between 1949 and 2010, I'm sure a few more years means it still holds up.
Yeah.
Do you know the book?
It was on my Goodreads list.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember it so well. So, But I do remember I have read it as well. But I don't think I've rated it as high as you have.
Maybe not.
What's
next
the next
up, one? Post-apocalypse. Now, this is a kind of different style of post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's post-apocalypse where the people live and like kind of society has reset itself a bit, but there's still a wider world going on. It's Kim Stanley Robinson's The Wild Shore.
Mm-hmm.
From the Three Californias triptych. It's the first book. I think it's actually it's Kim Stanley Robinson's first published novel, I think.
Okay.
It's from 1984. I read it in 2021 and gave it 5 stars. So it's one of those 5-star books.
Okay.
So if you want a story which is, you know, is it post-apocalypse? Is it society resetting and keeping going on? The bombs have definitely fallen, but it's actually a book about storytelling and it's very literary in that way. And I found it very satisfying and I cried multiple times. So
okay.
I know it's a book. Aww. You know, if I cry multiple times in a book, I guess it's going to be there.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have the book you mentioned before, Post-Apocalyptic. I Who Have Never Known Men.
Yeah.
By
very impactful.
Jacqueline Harpman. 4.5 stars. That's, I think, one of the most recent books I've reviewed that's been on here. That's from this year, 2024.
Yeah.
Just this year. I read it and then you read it.
Yes.
And you said that was on your list as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's from 1995. And on Goodreads, it's one of the highest rated books on Goodreads. It comes in on Goodreads just behind Pandora's Star.
Yeah.
At 4.22 stars is Jacqueline Harpman's I Who Have Never Known Men. So... Okay. If you're looking for a book about women in the post-apocalypse from 1995, there you go.
Yeah.
And next up, I'm going to give a nod to The Broken Earth Trilogy, number one, The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin.
Yeah.
Again, quite a recent book. I say recent. It's actually now, I look at it, 8 years old.
Yeah.
So in 2016, I gave it 4 stars. And this is another book where four-star books, I was like, they have to have something else for them. Just because if I only give them 4 stars, they have to be influential. And this is a book which I think won the Hugo, but then the 2 follow-up books won another 2 Hugos. So this is a 1-2-3 Hugo award-winning book in the post-apocalypse. It's not purely post-apocalypse in the first books. In the second book and the third one, it's a lot more post-apocalypse. But it's kind of then double post-apocalypse because I think the blurb of the book is like, the world has ended again. Mm-hmm. And you're like, right. Mm-hmm. So we're like long distance in the future.
Yeah.
Humans are still around. And then something happens, a big cataclysm happens.
Yes.
Is it on your list?
It's on my list.
Tick it off your list.
Cool. I just remembered you had just, I'm sorry, going back now.
Yeah.
You had the category Alien Invasion.
Yeah.
What about The Day of the Triffids?
Yeah, literally, the next book is The Day of the Triffids
okay.
in my list.
So that goes into post-apocalyptic, not well, no, into no, alien invasion.
No, no, there's another category here.
Okay.
It's a category of two, and it's called Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, right.
So it is post-apocalypse.
Okay.
Both of these are post-apocalypse, but it's post-apocalypse with two great things.
Okay.
So one is The Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham from 1951.
Yes.
And the next is I Am Legend by Richard Matheson from 1954. And the reason these are grouped together, it's because this is, along with actually, you know, what's that, from 1949, Earth Abides, there's these kind of books which are definitely... Ah, shit. What we have here is like, we've now discovered nuclear weapons.
Mm.
And so everything's about like, you know, Day of the Triffids, a flash in the sky and everyone goes blind. And you're like, oh, right, you mean like a nuclear weapon? Mm. And then you're like, oh, and after that, what's it going to be? Is it going to be zombies? Is it going to be plants? Is it going to be, what is it going to be? So, yeah.
Mutation and how people adapting
to
new
that kind of thing.
Circumstances,
so,
yeah.
We suddenly, you know, it's sort of like late 40s, oh shit, or like early, in this case, early 50s,
mm-hmm.
like, ah, right, there's a new form of science fiction, which is this kind of post-apocalyptic kind of stuff.
Right.
And that's why it starts with Earth Abides and includes the plants versus zombies of I Am Legend and Day of the Triffids, which both get like between 4.5 and 5 stars for me.
Okay.
So, was I Am Legend on your list there?
No, The Day of the Triffids.
Oh, Day of the Triffids was.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we've got a trilogy of books. Not
a
trilogy. We've got three books in a row called Detective Science Fiction.
Ooh.
Guess what the first Detective Science Fiction book is going to be?
The Prefect?
That's not the earliest one, is it? Because
I do this earliest.
No, this is.
The robots. Isaac Asimov.
The Caves of Steel.
Look, that's the first one on my list.
All right.
Actually,
so The Caves of Steel by Isaac Asimov. We gave it 4.5 stars. We reviewed it pretty recently. Actually, I now see it was 2017 we reviewed it, but we reviewed one of those books recently. I think it was the follow-up book we reviewed pretty recently, didn't we?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because we listened to it on an audiobook on a journey recently, didn't we?
Yeah, there have been some Isaac Asimovs recently. The Naked Sun? No, I don't know.
It was The Naked Sun. Where is it here? That was last year.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm like recently, 14 months ago. That's how bad I am at sticking out with this stuff.
Yes, but these robot detective and stories with robots and... mysterious murders. Great.
It's good.
Great stuff.
Isaac Asimov makes it onto the list. Why wouldn't he for his robot books?
Yeah.
Again, maybe some other books of his would make it onto the list.
Sure.
But I've not read a lot of his novels since starting the SFBRP.
Yeah.
Next up in detective science fiction, is Altered Carbon by Richard Morgan.
Okay.
That's Takeshi Kovacs' number one. I gave it 4 stars back in 2018. No, well, I reviewed it earlier on and gave it 4 stars, but then we also did the TV, what is it, the book versus the TV show.
Yeah.
We did that kind of series. So I last read it in 2018. So, and it held up. It's still a very good book. Again, there's some stuff in it which is a bit like, content-wise, but you can't deny that he's doing something new with the... you know, cyberpunk, noir, detective-y kind of, right, we've got to solve a mystery, got to solve a problem here as well.
Yeah, just the ideas are also very, very good.
And finally, in detective science fiction, we've got The Prefect by Alistair Reynolds. Prefect Dreyfus Emergency, number one. We gave it 4.75, and this is one that we listened to together as an audiobook.
Yeah.
And I'd already read before, and then, you know, we read the follow-ups or whatever like that. So, good books.
Yeah.
Good books there.
Absolutely. It's just fun world building and...
Great world building. Alistair Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's not the last time he's going to appear on this list.
I bet.
Yeah, and that's from 2007. All right, let's go back. This is... I actually said there's a few books which didn't get 4 stars for the last time I read them.
Okay.
But I think... within these groupings and like how important they are and what they kind of bring and what kind of they kick off in the world of science fiction, I think some of these are worth including. So I only gave it 3.5 stars, but it's Starship Troopers by Robert A. Heinlein.
Okay, I can see what, I can see why.
And it's kicking off a series of military science fiction.
Okay.
And also... it's also referenced and it casts a long shadow Or Heinlein yes. also cast a long shadow. So I thought I'd include this one
very
here as well.
Very influential. So not everything in the books always holds it up.
Absolutely not. And you've got to be picky now with Heinlein because you can absolutely. you can fall down into some weirdness there as well. That's from 1959. Let's move on though to 1985.
I know it.
What's that?
Ender's Game.
Ender's Game, that's right. By Orson Scott Card, Ender Saga number one, or the one of the two books you should read, which is this one and the follow-up book, which is Speaker to the Dead, whichever way it is. Speaker's Dead, whatever that is.
Okay.
The first book won the Hugo and Nebula Award. The follow-up book, Speaker for the Dead, also won the Hugo and the Nebula.
Okay.
I could include Speaker for the Dead later on in this. I didn't, but, you know, it's possible to do it. It is a completely different book. It might as well not be the same characters. Okay. It might as well not be the same world because it's like, hey, you remember this kid from the first book, Ender, who did all this military stuff? Now he's grown up and has PTSD. And you're like, all right, so a completely different book then.
Yeah.
But the follow-up book, like I say, Speaker for the Dead, could have made this list.
Yeah. Ender's Game is also on my list.
It's on your list. Again, putting aside any political disagreements or anything with the authors at this point, we can't do that. All right, next up in military science fiction, Ian M. Banks makes his entrance into the series here. Use of Weapons, The Culture, number three.
Yeah.
I gave it 5 stars. I think that was the first ever 5-star book on the SFBRP back in like 2008. Like I think in the whole first year of the SFBRP, I gave one book 5 stars and it was that book.
Yeah.
It could have fit into another similar soldier kind of series, but I kind of like separated out some other soldiering books, which is where like these military science fiction books, again, the long shadows of these books come in other ways as well.
Yeah, I bet.
All right. Next up is a 2-book series called Aliens Are Alien, Right?
What? Aliens are aliens?
Yeah, aliens are alien. Not aliens are alien.
Oh, aliens are alien. Okay.
And we're going to go for Solaris by Stanislav Lem.
Oh, right.
This is from 1961.
Yeah.
I gave it 4.5 stars. I think we actually then did another episode, which was like the book versus the movie versus the audio book versus the other movie versus the audio adaptation. Oh, yeah. And also there was a new translation as well.
Yeah.
So it was fun to read the new translation. So that's book one in Aliens Are Alien. The next one is Peter Watts, Blindsight.
Yeah,
Which is Firefall number one. Firefall number two, I think I actually rated higher, Echopraxia, but it didn't fit in. Like, again, it's difficult to just go with this one. So that's number two. That's from 2006, Blindsight.
Yeah.
And that's where Big Dumb Object, but is it dumb? But it's definitely an object, but it's very spiky. And there's vampires, but we're not versus the vampire either way. So
yeah, it's full with crazy stuff.
All right, next up, should we do it?
Yeah, what's it?
Next up, we go to the alternate history / historical.
Okay.
And so the first one is The Man in the High Castle by Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
I see Juliana reaching up to her list. Are you going to tick something off?
Well, it was on the list in the same way that 1984 was on
right.
the list.
Right, okay. But I gave it 5 stars. So it doesn't matter. It's making the list because it's a 5-star book.
True.
You know what I mean? If I gave it 5 stars, it makes it on there. From 1962, it's alternate history. Another one, which I know won't be on your list because I think you gave up on this book after trying to read it, is Pavana by Keith Roberts. It's from 1968 and it's alternate history, but like what Tolkien is doing, it's just sort of like, hey, let's create a mythic world for England, a mythic world for whatever.
Yeah,
he's sort of like, I'm gonna do that for England, but it's gonna be based on, there's gonna be fairies and there's gonna be like steampunky stuff, but it was like before steampunk was a thing.
Was that with the signaling things?
Yeah, some signals, some steam.
There were
like
lots
Jesus
of,
turns
yeah
up.
I was just about to say there were lots of references to religion.
Yeah,
I think I did finish. Did I not finish this?
I'm just saying I remember it not resonating with you at all.
Yes. Because I didn't get the references.
Exactly. This is one of the things
books.
That this would be. This is a book that's written for Luke.
Yeah.
That Luke gave 4.5 stars to.
Yeah.
That the Goodreads general audience gives 3.7 to. But then people give 3.6 stars. So again, I think a lot of these things are people who get into a book and they're not looking for a challenge. They're not looking for, hey, let's make this like let's make this really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to know all the references and happen to be exactly what you're looking for, you give it 5 stars. And if you don't, it gets a 3.7. 3 rating, average rating on Goodreads.
Yeah.
And finally, in alternate history historical, is Christopher Priest with The Prestige.
Ah.
Which I gave 5 stars to. Again, it's a book which I think it made an interesting movie of a different style. But it's like one of the most literary books and one of the best written books. It's about two magicians and their notes and their letters to each other.
Yeah.
And what they, like their diaries. It's sort of like alternating diaries between two dueling magicians.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of them writing or notes about the other. And again, as someone who works in the entertainment industry and has been through the different paths and different things, I found it fascinating
and really
interesting. Yeah. And I gave it 5 stars. So it makes the list.
Okay.
Next up, I did a kind of catch-all called Best of Space Opera. I know it's boring.
No, it's
Dune.
Good.
We got Dune by Frank Herbert, 4.5 stars. And I think we've read and reviewed it a few times as well.
Yeah.
I think we also did a book versus the movie.
Yeah.
It's from 1965 and it's got a 4.27 rating on Goodreads. So like pretty high up there.
And rightly so.
Yeah, maybe rightly so. I think rightly so. I think, again, it stands up the test of time.
Yeah.
Next up, I wasn't sure which one it was going to be, but it's Revelation Space.
Yes, that's on my list too.
Alistair Reynolds. It was written in 2000. And again, recently revisiting. I read it twice. The last time was in 2010, I guess.
Yeah.
It was the book that I chose to be the first audiobook that I listened to when I set up Audible. And now it kind of becomes my best way of listening. But we recently listened to some other books of those. We did some others in the Revelation space. We did Absolution Gap.
Yes.
We did Chasm City.
Yeah.
We did the Prefect is also in that world as well.
Yeah.
And next up, we've got The Quantum Magician, which I gave 4.5 stars to. It's by Derek Kunskun. I reviewed it. It's from 2018, so pretty recently. It's got only 3.99 on Goodreads as an average review.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a book which, to this day, 5 years after me reading it, it's still stuck in my brain. And
awesome.
It's one of those books where you just go, oh, you read a book like that and you never read another science fiction book. You never read another heist book. You never read another book with anything to do with time travel, or never read a book which is, let's say, heist or whatever. You know, never like anything with a battle or space battles or different, you know, world building and, you know, the whole space opera. Like you read that book and you're like, ah, space opera is different for me now.
Yeah.
If you're not doing something as clever as this, The Quantum Magician.
Yeah.
Try harder, everyone, with your space opera. This is the level you got to be working at now.
Big influence on Luke.
And that's, well, not so much a big influence. I'm just saying, if I'm reading space opera and I'm thinking, what's the best recent space opera that I'm reading?
Yeah.
It's like this and, again, some other books that I mentioned here as well. You got to be working at that level.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we've got a book which is a collection of 3 books called Sci-Fi versus Fantasy Point of View.
Okay.
And the first book in this is The Planet of Exile by Ursula K. Le Guin.
Yes.
That, again, I read, and then I think we listened to it again as an audiobook together, the two of us, last year. Last read it in 2022. So, of course, it wasn't last year. It was 2 years ago. Yeah. But I can't keep track.
Very good.
We gave this book 4 to 4.5 stars. We really enjoyed it.
Yes.
And not a great rating on Goodreads or whatever, but it did come as a pair with another book, which I'm going to get to in a second. But because I'm doing these little bits and pieces chronologically in between, we're going to go to Inversions by Ian M. Banks. Is that on your list here?
That's on my list too. Yeah.
Now, this is one of those crazy books where you're like, yeah, this is a 5-star book. And this is one of the SFBRP must reads. But also, to read it, you kind of have to have read like 4 or 5 other Ian M. Banks culture books. And if you've read 4 or 5 other Ian M. Banks culture books, then this one is a masterwork.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a masterwork in its own right because it's a full fantasy book,
mm-hmm.
which is inside of a science fiction world.
Yeah.
But it's never explicitly mentioned in the book.
Crazy, like crazy world, but crazy,
it's
fun,
so good.
Interesting.
So it's good.
Very,
Again, if you've read many other books by Ian M. Banks in that culture universe. So yeah, it's culture book. It's culture number 6. So if you're reading the culture in that order, you're primed to it by then.
Yes.
And the last of this in the science fiction versus fantasy point of view is like the book pair with Planet of Exile. Which is Elder Race by mm-hmm. Adrian Tchaikovsky, which only came out 2 years ago and mm-hmm. is only like a novella,
mm-hmm.
but I think it pairs so well with Planet of Exile.
Yeah.
Yes, it makes it into this list, even though it's a novella. And even though if it was just its own story, it wouldn't hold up. But I think it's a really great example of what Ursula K. Le Guin was also doing in Planet of Exile.
Yeah, it's a more recent version of this.
Yeah. And more explicit. It's like the most explicit version of this as well.
And it's literally like just the writing is just very enjoyable.
Next up, we're going to go for Unreliable Narrator.
Ooh.
And these books are very, not similar, but they've both got like a similar idea, which is that something's wrong with a person's brain and they don't know it.
Right.
Or they're talking about it in a way which isn't explicitly clear. First of all is from 1966, Flowers for Algernon.
Yes.
It's on. Juliana's reaching up and ticking off
her
phone.
I've been in tears reading that
book. By Daniel Keyes. I gave it 5 stars. I've read it a few times. Yeah. Juliana was in tears as well. 4.21 on Goodreads, so really high up there as well. The next on this book, I was struggling which of these books, because I wanted to get some Planetfall in there, because Planetfall is doing not a similar kind of thing, but an unreliable narrator, that each one of these four Planetfall books is a character who is obviously massively damaged, or mentally neuroatypical in various different ways.
Yeah.
And you as the reader, as you're reading through the book, it's like slowly revealed to you who these people are. There's four stories. Each one has four different main characters, and you kind of get to know a different kind of mental condition, put it that way, throughout the book. And I'm going to go for the fourth book, which I think was the best one, which was Atlas Alone, Planetfall number 4. But you kind of should have read the first three books.
Yeah, it kind of, like, this is why I literally put Planetfall series.
Yeah, because but it can't be all of them.
Like, I know.
Like,
but
I don't mind Judas Unchained, what is it?
Pandora's Star.
Pandora's Star, Judas Unchained, but it can't be like, alright, read. But then again, I do have in here Inversions by, which is part of the Culture series.
Some books or some stories are elevated by being in a series. And I think if you do want to start with certain books, I think people who will enjoy one book, they will move on with the others.
Yeah, but I think you could probably, I wouldn't say start with that one, but it was the only one that was high enough rated for me to unambiguously pick that for this list.
But I think all of them have very interesting
ideas. All of them are really good.
Really well written. And
I kind of want to go back and read the first one again, because I think it was really good.
Yeah.
All right, next up is a two-part series.
Okay.
A two-book thing called Soldier Unstuck in Time. We're going to go for Slaughterhouse-Five for Kurt Vonnegut from 1969. You're reaching up and ticking that off your list.
It's not on my list, but I do understand the importance.
I gave it 5 stars.
I know, but it is, for me, I know it's weird to say, I know how influential it is, how good it is. For me, it's too much.
What do you mean?
It's too much PTSD, too much.
Yeah. But again, all of these books are. This is why it comes after Unreliable Narrator, because this is another super unreliable narrator with, in this case, PTSD, which is making him tell stories to himself.
Yeah.
Science fiction stories. And that's why it's coming, that's why these
makes
are kind of grouped together
lot of
here
sense,
as well.
Yes.
And the next one of Soldier Unstuck in Time is Cameron Hurley's The Light Brigade.
That is on my list.
Yeah, that's from 2019.
Yeah.
I gave it 5 stars, another 5-star book. Goodreads disagrees, but I think Goodreads hadn't read enough Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
And this use
is
of
a
weapons.
Very good version of this.
Say again?
This is a very good version of
I think it's a good version of Soldier Unstuck in Time.
Yeah.
Military science fiction. You know, it's a, like, and I think that's what makes The Light Brigade so good is that it's like, if you've read Slaughterhouse-Five and, Ender's Game and Use of Weapons and Starship Troopers and, you know, all of these other military science fiction books, I think it benefits from that. That's why it's kind of like lower down on this list here as well. Next up, we're going to go for a series of three books, which I call Stranger in a Non-Gendered Land.
Okay.
So the first book is The Left Hand of Darkness.
Yes, that is here as well.
Which I gave 4.4 stars to when I first reviewed it. And it was the last episode that we recorded, wasn't it? That was episode 549. That was the last book that I reviewed. So I can't remember what I rated it last time, but it's definitely up there. And yeah. Again, when I was looking through greatest science fiction books of all time, masterwork this, masterwork yeah. this book came up over and over and over again. And because it's like, I literally reread it again to see if it would make this list. I'm like, yeah, didn't enjoy it quite as much as the first time I read it, but it still holds up as a great exploration.
When's that from again?
That's from 1969.
Makes it even more impressive then.
Now, here's the next one, which is not actually a book. It's not a novella. It's not a novel. It's actually a short story collection. And this is the one book which shouldn't be in here if we were just talking about novels,
right.
But it is something that I gave 5 stars to. And
which
it's
is?
Her Smoke Rose Up Forever by James Tiptree. Let me get it right. James Tiptree Jr.
Yes.
And yes, I gave it 5 stars. I did an episode with Jenny from the Reading podcast.
Yes.
And we talked about this book. She had read all of the stories before. I'd read a few of the stories before.
So it's a collection.
It's a collection of short stories.
Okay.
I'm including it here because there are various stories where, oh, there's no women left anymore. There's no men left anymore. Mm. All the men are killing all the women. You know, like various different takes on these different kind of stories of like, you know, only one gender left.
Yeah.
In the world.
Okay.
Although I didn't look it up again, but that's my memory of it. There's one where Houston, We Have a Problem, I think, is one of those. Anyway, very, very, very good selection of books. And I thought I'd throw it in here.
Yeah.
But because it's a short story collection, it could go in quite a few different of these categories.
Okay.
Next up, we have for the final Stranger in a Non-Gendered Land, we have it from the other point of view, someone from who is ungendered or we don't know what the gender is and isn't looking around and saying he is all she this time.
Mm.
Instead of Left Hand of Darkness, everyone's a he, it's a she. And it's The Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie.
Yeah.
Imperial Radish
yeah.
number one. Now, here's the thing. This came out in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
However, I only gave it 3.5 stars. But in my head, this was like a 4-star, 4.5-star
yeah.
book. Turns out it was the second book that I gave that book to. But this one...
I saw the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, when you were looking through the episode list. I was like, oh, I got the books mixed up. I thought that was the one that I really enjoyed. But I remember now, oh, yeah, I was kind of a little bit disappointed by the end of this. But the world building is really strong. And she's still writing books in there now. You know, I just listened to the... Incomparable episode where they're rating all of the Hugo and Nebula Award nominated books for this year.
Yeah.
And Translation State by Anne Leckie,
mm-hmm.
set in this universe, was still the collective consensus number one book of last year.
Okay.
According to Incomparable listeners.
Right.
It's there's still more to do in this universe, I guess.
Yeah, and it's I remember the ideas of the whichever one it was, ancillary, mercy,
justice,
or whatever.
Here's the thing. If it's a book that's been sticking in my head that long...
And just the concept and the ideas of it, very stucky.
All right, we've got like 5 more little sections to go.
Okay.
The next one's called Uplift and Aliens.
Right.
So this isn't Aliens are Alien.
Yeah.
This is aliens are actually quite human, or, you know, we're uplifting things to be more human, or like, what's the difference? Like, these are understandable aliens.
Yeah.
So Uplift and Aliens is Startide Rising.
Yeah.
Uplift Saga number 2.
Yep.
This is another book that I recently read. Well, I didn't recently read. I read the first book. I was like, Sundiver, is that the way to start? No.
Just go straight to Startide Rising.
Startide Rising. Again, I don't remember fully exactly what happens in that book versus other books in the Uplift saga. But I did give it 4 stars back in 2014.
Yeah.
And that's from 1983.
Okay.
The next one is A Fire Upon the Deep.
Yes.
You're going to tick that one off.
So in my mind, I know this book has two separate stories or things.
And you only remember one of them.
I only remember one of them. And it's worth reading this book just for that one.
It could be in the best of, you know... What was it? Space opera. Yeah, it could just be best of space opera. But the strength of that book is the Uplift versus Aliens, or the aliens aren't too alien for us to understand section.
Yes, absolutely.
But there is like that, you know, zones of thought. So there's the gradations of like, where are humans? And there's other species around us in the zones of thought which are about the same intelligence as us.
Yeah.
And if you go too far in one direction, they're too stupid, we don't have anything in common. If we go too far in the other direction, they're too elevated, we don't have anything in common.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think this fits in with that kind of gradations of uplift and alienness as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next up, we have Agent Tchaikovsky, Children of Time and Children of Ruin. I'm putting them both in here.
Yeah.
It's like 4.5 stars each or whatever I gave them. Probably 4 stars and then 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
It's a 1-2 book, 1-2 thing. Uplift and Aliens. It's playing in the same space as the Zones of Thought, playing in the same space as the space opera, and very much, I mean, I think, like, wasn't it the spaceship at the start of the, is called the Bryn. It's mm-hmm. like, you know what you're doing here. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Adrian Tchaikovsky, well done for making it to the list twice.
Yep. Very good.
Next up, we have a little section called Board Games Are the Continuation of Diplomacy by Other Means.
Right, I know exactly what's in there.
And
already.
We have Player of Games, a 5-star yes. book by Ian M. Banks.
Yeah,
it's
I knew
culture
that.
Number 2. You're yeah. ticking that one off. That's from 1988.
Yeah. These books are old.
I know, but I keep thinking of them as like, this is the series that I'm into.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they are still really.
But no, Ian M. Banks died in like 2013 or whatever.
I know, but these books are really just very timeless.
I think so. And I think it's because like the culture is like, it's not Earth's future. Mm. It's not humanity's future. It's like humanity is mentioned in the culture, but it's kind of off to one side.
Yeah.
So anytime that you think, oh, that's not how the future will be. It's like, what are you talking about the future? This Player of Games is set 400 years before now. And the later books are set 800 years after we are now.
Yeah.
So and the next book in this series, this little Board Games Are a Continuation of Diplomacy by Other Means, is Nine Fox Gambit by Yoon Ha Lee.
Right.
The Machineries of Empire. Number 1, or the only book worth. No, actually, the other two books are fine, but they aren't about Board Games Are the Continuation of Diplomacy by Other Means. You know what? I almost added that Warhammer book, Dan Ebnett's.
Oh, really?
I rated it 4 stars, and I was looking through some of these like best science fiction books.
Oh, they will be up there.
That was
for sure.
That's like super. So the Horus Heresy, mm-hmm. book number 1, Horus Rising or whatever.
Right.
Maybe I'd have to go back and listen to it again. But that is a book which randomly, as a tie-in book,
yeah.
I was like, this should go here because it's a board. But the thing is, it within the book, it's not about a board game.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's an adaptation book or like a tie-in novel about a, you know, a tabletop game.
Right.
So it makes you think of the tabletop game. And then when you read Yoon Ha Lee's, when you think, because I'd read Nine Fox Gambit before that,
mm-hmm.
before reading the Warhammer stuff. And then I read the Warhammer stuff and I'm like, oh, right.
Right.
So Yoon Ha Lee is actually doing Warhammer. And I thought Yoon Ha Lee was doing Ian and Banks' culture series.
Right.
Actually had never read it before.
depends on where you start.
Yeah, I thought it was all the references were to play of games and use of weapons. Turns out, nah.
Right.
But again, obviously,
I knew that
similar
would be
stuff.
On there. But for me, it's a bit too. There's too much strategy.
All right, let's a pair of books called Canterbury Tales with Portals.
Right.
Hyperion from 1989, and by Dan Simmons, and also Salvation by Peter F. Hamilton from 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So two books which are Canterbury Tales with Portals and Dangerous Aliens. Salvation, both of them have follow-up books.
Yeah.
I would say keep reading Salvation, knowing that the second book is in the alien invasions section and portal warfare, but it doesn't continue on with that. And Hyperion Kantos, the second Hyperion book or whatever it is, Fall of Hyperion.
Yeah.
I would say don't bother reading because it's just kind of like less interesting. Yeah. And
I did exactly what you said. I only ever read Hyperion. Didn't continue in any way. And so for me, that is like a standalone book, really.
Yeah. Next up, next little collection or two book collection, Mars.
Mars.
One is Red Mars by Kim Stanley Robinson.
Of course.
He gets two books on here. I gave it 4.5 stars. You would probably give it less. But
yeah, because of all the politicking and stuff. But
it's
important.
A book about politics.
I know, it is important. And it is important to think about. And all these kind of things are crucial if humans are going anywhere.
Here's the thing. Kim Stanley Robinson said, I wanted to write a book about politics, but it was too difficult to set it on Earth because all of our preconceptions about politics were getting in the way of me just having a clean sheet.
Of course.
So I went to Mars and did a book about politics on Mars where I could have a clean sheet. And everyone thinks it's a book about colonizing Mars terraforming
it's purely
Mars.
About humans and politics.
And it is about that, but he wrote it as a book about politics. And that's what it is.
But that's also science fiction.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
The whole point of it. Like, how are humans adapting? What are they doing? Yep. Can they start new? Are they able to?
Yep. Next up, we have Mars, the Martian.
Yes.
This book was from 2011. We reviewed it in 2014.
Yeah.
Haven't read it since. We listened to it as an audiobook. It's one of those formative books of ours listening in a car together. And we've been trying to capture that ever since.
Yes.
And it's a book which is this. Hey, there's a problem. How well do you know the spaceflight and the history of Mars exploration? And he's listed lots of things. He's listed lots and lots of things. Which of those things is he going to use to solve a problem? And then if you can solve the problem, if you can pause the book and say what the problem is, how the problem is going to be solved before
you can literally puzzle along with it.
It's a puzzle book.
MacGyver in space.
Yeah, it's
on Mars.
It's a science fiction puzzle book where he gives you all the pieces.
Yeah.
You press pause. Can you put them together? And if not, you just think, well, Mark Watton is cleverer than I am.
Yes.
Or Andy Weir is cleverer than I am.
And I think this book kind of started in my mind this new era of contemporary writing style in science fiction, because the use of language is very contemporary.
Yeah, he's doing a bit of John Scalzi. Like, John Scalzi is like progenitor of that.
Never read any books by John Scalzi, but for me, that is the first entrance into this kind of very casual writing.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, this happens.
Yeah,
writing that on the page.
Yeah.
So for me, that was...
And that's what a lot of science fiction is now. Because everything is coming post-Scalzi, post-The Martian, and everyone wants a book where they've got a swearing lead protagonist, lead character. Right. A book which doesn't really fit in here, but I wasn't quite sure where else to put it, which is Tad Williams, The City of Golden Shadow, Otherland Number 1. We gave it 4.25 stars, and we were let's continue on with this series. And then we never continued on, because they're chunky books, and I'd read them before and they were coming in German audiobook.
I started listening as an audio play.
Oh yeah, audio play, wasn't it?
And they were good. They were very you sucked up into it. However, they chop them off like really weird ways.
I think the audiobook, the German audiobooks, not the audio plays, the German audiobooks were broken up into, each book was broken up into two books.
Or three.
Oh, is it three books?
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, do you want to spend like 12 credits to get through this series? So again, it's a book that I've read all five books before, but we reread this first book. I think it was mostly because I'm like, Ready Player One, stop it. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, this is the kind of thing called What Time Are We In? It's mostly because it's a book which it doesn't matter. Like, of course, we're in a cyberpunk future thing where the metaverse is all around and things. But when was this book from? 1996. So it was like in the early internet, like people go, oh, what can the internet be? But a lot of it is like, all right, we're going to go to this mythic place. Now we're going to go to this moment in time, and we're going to go to Egypt, and we're going to go here, and we're going to go into this book, and we're going to go into that book. Another book which does a similar kind of thing in a way which is not even remotely similar is 2004's Cloud Atlas by David Mitchell.
Right,
I gave it 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
Now, this is a book which isn't for everyone, but it does have a 4.01 stars on Goodreads. And I think it's because it isn't all the science fiction readers who are reading that. It's all the literary people who are like, this is literature, isn't it? And I'm like, it's also science fiction, but the literature people are like, but it's very good literature. Yeah. And it is very good literature.
Yeah. And it is one of those books very representative of the episodical writing style kind of genre, like Hyperion. Like you have episodical stories connected by one.
Yeah, and it goes forward. It starts in the past and it goes through to the forward. The next book in this different kind of thing, again in a different kind of way, but you'll understand why this is also in with The City of Golden Shadow by Tad Williams, which is Alistair Reynolds' Eversion. From 2022, we gave it 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
Because we were both crying at the end.
Yeah.
And again, don't want to get too much into this book, but it starts off in the past and then it skips forward and you're in the next bit and it's sort of like, oh, very well done, Alistair Reynolds. Yeah. You're doing Cloud Atlas. And what was that other book? The book by the book by Emily St. John Mandel, who wrote, anyway, something to do with the moon. remember what it was called. Anyway, she was also doing a similar kind of thing there in that book where, like, all right, someone is on a journey and it's 1873 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you skip forward another 20 years and now we're here. And then you skip forward 50 years and now you're in Canada at this time, you know. So that didn't make it in though. Can't even remember what the book was called. The final two books, which book 51 and 52, it was just called Religious Order on Another Planet.
Okay.
And the first book is Mary Doria Russell, The Sparrow, from 1996, which I reviewed in 2016 and I gave 5 stars to. Did you read that book, The Sparrow? Mm. It's about Jesuits who set off in Puerto Rico and go to another planet
and
meet
him. I was putting this, I just recently put it on my library hold list. However, I just got the notification that my library lost, like they didn't renew the license.
Oh, no.
So I'm on the hold, but it's unknown when that book will come
back. I've still got money
back
on a gift card. Just buy it as an ebook and read it.
I will.
I gave it 5 stars.
Okay, that's
it's really, really good.
Okay, let's do it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It also fits in with, I mean, it could have gone into other books here as well.
Of course.
But I like Religious Order on Another Planet. And the final book in the SFBRP Masterworks Must Read list is Anathem by Neal Stephenson. 4.9 stars. I rated that book, though, all the way back in 2009.
Okay, that's...
It was released in 2008. Here's the thing. Still got a 4.17 rating, and it was on quite a lot of those best of books things as well.
Yeah.
So that was just the order that I was going through this list here.
Yeah.
But it isn't the order. You know, it isn't the final order.
Yes.
It's just the order that I wanted to go through with these, like, mini chain these books together, link these linked books. And I think when people go to the website, I'm going to make a page where people can see these books and they can order them in any way by publication date. So there isn't a set reading order of these books.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to, before we get onto some others, I want you to, you're going to go through the books that I didn't get to that are on your list. Any books that are still, you didn't tick off on your list.
Yes.
Give me a second. Oh, really? Okay. So I did, you did well and I did well.
Yeah.
So I just want to quickly... sort these in different ways. So I just want to sort them by year published as well. What do I do here? So if I go by year. So yes, the oldest book is 1895.
Yeah.
And the newest book is 2022. So the latest ones, if you just want to see what are the latest books that Luke thinks you should read.
Yeah.
I reckon if you start in like the time that that the SFBRP started, which is like say 2008 is when I started, but if you go back to like 2007 and just read those last books, I think you're getting The Prefect, Anathem, The Martian, Wool Omnibus, Ancillary Justice, The Fifth Season, Children of Time / Ruin, Nine Fox Gambit, The Quantum Magician, Salvation, Atlas Alone, The Light Brigade, The Space Between Worlds, Elder Race and Aversion. And I think that is a really good introduction to what modern science fiction is. In other words, science fiction from the last, say, 15 years.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really good set of books to go for.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Again, the Anathem being there as well. But go back a bit further. Blindsight, Altered Carbon. You know, you're getting some, like, any books in that time as well.
It's really interesting to see the amount of books that are above that time-wise and the number of books from, like, the last, let's say, 20 years.
Yeah.
Is like...
a big chunk of them.
A quarter?
Oh, right. Well, here's the thing. Again, I'm reading and reviewing books from this time.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm like, hey, what book shall I read? And it's a new book. It's impossible for it to have made it onto, you know, I looked at this other thing, like the best 100 science fiction books of all time.
Yeah.
And that was a book. Someone wrote that book and it was published in like 1988 or something like that. So you're like, well, of course no books more recently are going to be on there as well. But yeah, the first book, The Time Machine, War of the Worlds, 1984. And then, you know, you get those dystopia post-apocalyptic series of Earth Abides, Day of the Triffids, get some robots in there as well. So there's some interesting stuff there as well. However, look at this. So from the 1940s on, you got 1940s, 50s, lots from the 60s, a big skip from 1969, Left End of Darkness, up to David Brin's Star Type Rising in 1983. Absolutely nothing at all from the 1970s.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Because... it's not like you have not read any books from that period.
I've read loads of books from the
1970s. However, most books from that time period, especially science fiction, especially English-speaking science fiction, is from a certain type of author and they write a certain type of stuff. And
it was when the
sexist, racist.
Yeah, it was when the, no offense, just, it was when the baby boomers were booming in science fiction. You know, so you get all those like bits where you go, oh, Larry Niven. Oh, when I read this when I was 12 years old or 15 years old, I didn't realize how racist and sexist it was.
Yeah.
And now you read it again, like all of these books where I'm like, oh, Eon, although that might have been a 1980s book. And I can't even get through the first three chapters. And I was like, yeah, but this is what salvation, this is what Peter Hamilton's talking about. And every single one of those books from the 1970s that I've gone and revisited, they've all got like 2 stars, maybe 3 stars.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to look up Gateway and what is it? The Forever War. Those books might have made it in, but I don't even know where they are from.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at what date they are. They might be 1970s books, which could have made it in here if I'd have read them and reviewed them recently enough to be. But again, every other book from the 1970s that I've gone back and reread, I'm like, oof, no.
and so many of these books, sure, and I don't take that away from these books, do have mind-blowing, for the time, very new ideas, influential for the future books that we are on this list now. However, I think the books that are on this list now that take the ideas, are doing it much better.
Yeah, don't bother going to read back. Yeah, like exactly. If you're going to read military science fiction, sure, read Starship Troopers and Ender's Game. But do you really need The Forever War, or could you just read, you know, The Light Brigade
exactly.
and get a lot more out of it.
So
another way to order this is by Goodreads rating. The Einstein Intersection, like I say, was the lowest rated one at 3.55. The highest rated, actually, Andy Weir and The Martian, again, a recent book. Then you get N.K. Jemisin with A Broken Earth, Ender's Game, Player of Games is up there as well. So, that, you know, if you just go by that and you just go, hey, let's just take the top 10 by Goodreads rating, I think you're also, I think you're going to be happy with that rating as well.
Yeah. So you're going to put this on the website and then have it in the
list?
Yeah,
I'm going to make a specific page for it. So it's episode lists. And then I'm also going to do like SFBRP must read lists or SFBRP intro. And that way you can click. I haven't made the page yet, but by the time this episode is published, I will have made a page.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even have more books than what we've talked about now, because we're going to get to your list in a second.
And so you will make a table again that you can sort in different ways in the way that you just
exactly.
said. That's nice.
And also you can do it by how the books are linked together. So each book will be in one or two collections of, like, again, sci-fi POV. I just want to say as well, quite a few of these were also in the Masterworks series as well, like Man in the High Castle, Pavan, Planet of Exile, and I think it was called Exile and Illusions was in the Masterworks. So it was like the City of Illusions and the Planet of Exile by Ursula K. Le Guin, and quite a few others as well. There's a few Hugo Awards and Nebula Awards and Hugo Awards. And then there's also a few Arthur C. Clarke Awards, like what's that one? Ancillary Justice, here is Children of Time, Fire Upon the Deep and stuff like that. So there's a few others. There's multiple award-winning books.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What are you going to do? Are you going to give me the ones that you didn't get to on your list?
Yes. There's one more book I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and now this needs to go into a different category, because I know might not be hugely influential, the best ever science fiction, whatsoever.
Yeah.
However, sometimes you need fun, cozy science fiction. And this is my category join, because I think it's valid.
Right.
And on that, I would say The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet needs to go on, because I thoroughly enjoy it. It's just a fun read to hang out with fun people.
I understand.
Interesting mission.
However, I honestly think cozy science fiction has to be... It has to exist a lot longer as like a genre, a subgenre, for it to be not a passing, for it to be as much not a passing fad as I think it might be, for it to make it onto a Masterworks list.
Okay.
And I know that's weird to say that, like, the more recent books which are on this, you know, sort of like ancillary justice, and I don't know, I could look up which one of those books. All of them are working in a space and interacting in a space which has deep roots in science fiction, and mm-hmm. you can connect back. And I think A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet is cozy science fiction, which is mostly referencing, you know, like Firefly and TV shows. And I don't think it's substantial. I know you want it to be cozy, but almost by definition, cozy science fiction is insubstantial and non-challenging. And I think there's other books which are insubstantial and non-challenging, which would make my list, personal list, before that one. Sure. I mean, why not Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or something like that, which is silly and frivolous and cozy, but
satirical.
But it has satire. And I read all the way through every book by Becky Chambers.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever noticed a satirical sentence in any of her books.
No, it's not there.
I'm just saying,
it's very earnest. Okay,
so carry on. I'm not saying no, but I'm just saying that book would have to be an example of that form of science fiction, and that science fiction would still have to be relevant in a bit.
I'm just saying, if I would have an addition to that list, it would be my
list.
I'll
put it on the long list.
Go on that list, as would be a psalm for the Wild Build. We don't need to talk about it.
That is a novella which...
Oh, it's a novella.
It's a novella. You did rate it 5 stars.
Yes.
And I did include one other novella in here, but
I'm just saying, these are two additions.
Yes, I get it.
Put on. So then I do have Spin. Do you remember that?
The thing is, I do remember it, but that fell shy of my Luke has to remember it, that it stuck with him. And I do remember kind of what the story is about.
Right, because I do remember really enjoying the idea and the whole, like, the story. And
but
I don't know.
Was it Charles Wilson or something?
Wilson. Something Wilson.
Also, I think that was when, not in a list that I looked at recently, but that was on another masterwork / best books, one of the lists, you know, one of the many lists that people talk about.
Yes, and it's this kind of like...
Yep.
Something happens and it ends.
And you said you got another your third book on there, or fourth book?
Well, I have two more books that I might or might not be.
Just say them out and
The other one is The Great North Road.
Yes, could have made it on lots of books.
Detective, whatever. Great stuff. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And then I kind of, you know, there's in the military section, whatever, Louise McMaster Bujold. I wouldn't put the Vokosigan stuff on it.
Right.
However, I do remember really enjoying the first two books.
Barriar and Shards of Honor.
Cornelia's Honor in German.
Oh,
it was all combined into a double book.
You know what? I wouldn't be opposed to Shards of Honor and Barriar. One or both of those books, or as a collection,
because
Cordelia's Honor,
putting
that on this book, because they do stand out as really fun science fiction.
Exactly.
So, all right, good to think about that.
Okay.
Maybe, again, not on my initial 52 books.
Yeah.
All right, so just a few other books which would be on my long list, except that I haven't read them recently enough. For example, Finity's End. Is that the book which was the last book I ever read before starting the science fiction book? I was like, it's Down Below Station. No, it isn't. It's this, you know, it's another C.J. Sherry book.
Okay, never heard of it.
I think C.J. Sherry could have made it onto this list, except I read so many of her books before reading before starting the SFBRP.
Yeah.
And each of the two books, Citeen. You remember Citeen? That's another one which is purely about politics again.
Yeah.
And you're like, too much politics. And I'm like, I know. But when I read this the first
your
time.
Your eyes glow.
And I'm like, this is a Luke book, but it wouldn't make it onto this. So I'm thinking Finity's End or maybe Heavy Time / Hellburner, but I don't remember which one of those, which I thought was really good.
Yeah.
Or maybe Foreigner, which I read again 20, maybe 30 years. I don't even know when I read that book. It's not in that same series. It's kind of its own thing.
And so all of these have not been reviewed, so
Read Finity's End or Foreigner. I reckon if we did read Finity's End or Foreigner, one of those two books would make it onto this list.
Okay.
The other one, if I remember rightly, Foreigner might even be like Stranger in a Weirdly Gendered Land or something like that. But again, I don't think it's all gender-based, but it is something weird going on. It's like getting to know an alien language. So maybe just A Stranger in a Strange Land kind of thing. The other one is David Zindel, Neverness, which I looked up, couldn't find it on Audible, couldn't find it anywhere. But this is like You know, like what Dune is, like a, like a big everything set on one planet, which is really dusty and hot and sandy.
Yeah,
this is on one that's really cold.
Okay,
and I remember at the start of the Science Fiction Book Review podcast, I would like mention this as like one of my favorite science fiction books that I'd read in the last 10 years.
Okay,
and I do remember a lot about it, but again, I'd need to look it up and yes. I'd need to see when it was published.
Need to recheck it.
And if it's published in the 1990s, it's might still hold up. If it's published in the 1970s, but it's so weird that I don't remember enough about it to confidently say yes, that's definitely a 4 to 5 star book and it would hold up. Okay. I think I'll have to go back and read Neverness. That yes. might go. And here's some books which I have reviewed which might have made it into a 60 book set but didn't make it into the 52 books.
Yeah,
one is Arkady and Boris Strugatsky, Roadside Picnic.
Yes I did look that up and I had yeah. it in my head. I didn't put it down, but again, I was thinking yeah.
I remember liking it a lot, but it's yeah. not clear enough in my head to go yes, I definitely should. I read that in 2010, so this is, you know, some books which are so long ago that yeah. I need to reread to make sure they made in.
But some Russian, like in the same way that you have like Solaris, different sort of
yeah
view on science fiction.
Yeah, so The Forever War is from 1974. That might be like the only 1970s books that would make it, but again, I haven't read it since 2010. And since 2008 was the last time I read the Forever War. But it did win like Hugo's and Nebula's Out the Wazoo and things like that. And then The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. I'm like, did I just enjoy that because it was like the book of the time and it was the thing? Or was it actually a really good book? But it did definitely kick off an entire genre of young adult science fiction, mm-hmm. dystopia, we've got to get out. And I remember really, really enjoying it, even though it was a book yeah. about a teenage girl. I'm like, yeah, I understand why this teenage girl is and the situation is engaging. So,
yeah.
But again, I read it in 2010, so I'd have to probably reread The Hunger Games.
Only ever watch the movies.
Yeah, but the book is actually really good. And I think there's a reason why it became a phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's because it's really good. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't say that. Oh, yeah, Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I gave it 3.5 stars. Like, that's when I reviewed it for the podcast. So it didn't make the 4-star cutoff point.
Right.
Might have made it in. I know that when I was a kid and I read it for the first time, it was definitely like a 4.5, 5-star. But it was before I started rating it. And yeah. then you read it and go, oh, yeah, it's like listening to the same joke the sixth time.
Yeah, but
you're
I
not going to give it. But it might, it should, maybe
but I
should
think
have made it there.
Like, if you would look at it from a first-time reader perspective,
yeah,
I think then it's absolutely... It should be there. Like,
it should
so
be
many,
there.
There's so many fun things, so many influential things that like is like pop culture.
Yeah. But does it still hold up, or do we just have fond memories of the movie, or the radio play that it was based on? You know, like, where is it? You know, what are we actually enjoying? Are we enjoying our memories of it?
We will never know, because yeah. we are tainted. We've read it and seen the movies, and so we're not going to know. So this needs to be a first reader telling yeah. us.
All right, two more books, which my mind is so polluted by the movie that I can't just hold it up as a book. One, Under the Skin by Michael Faber, which I loved as a book and I really enjoyed as a movie, and you didn't even manage to get to the end of the movie because you disliked it so much.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how much of it am I enjoying? It? Like, what is it about it? Is it, do I remember everything from the movie? Like how I felt about the movie or the book? And the same thing about 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Mm.
I don't think the book is a 5-star book.
Yeah.
It could be a 4-star book, but how much of the heavy lifting of that being a 4-star book is me having the imagery from the movie in my head while I'm reading the book? So yeah, that's Under the Skin. Weirdly, Under the Skin and 2001 A Space Odyssey, both of them are me going, yeah, but did I just enjoy the movie too much?
Yeah.
So again, either one of them could make it onto the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then Margaret Atwood, Year of the Flood, I gave 4.5 stars to one of the three Mad Adam books, but I don't remember which book. I don't remember which of the three books is the one that I enjoyed so much that I gave 4.5 stars to.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Oryx. I just remember Oryx and Crake.
Yes.
Because the title is
yeah,
so fun.
Oryx and Crake is the first book.
Yeah.
The second book I enjoyed a lot more. And then there was a third book which I didn't enjoy quite so much. And I'm like, what was in the second book that I enjoyed so much? But I don't remember what was in the second book compared to the first and the third book.
Yeah.
So the other one that I have here is Venomous Lumpsucker, which would have been the most recent book. But I'm like, I just like the stupid satire in that. if I read that book in 10 years' time, would the satire about, you know, extinction credits and all of that kind of stuff, would that still be holding up, or is it too recent? And I think the other more recent books that I read, you read them in 10, 15 years' time, they would still hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Venomous Lumpsucker, even though it's an award-winning book, it got the Arthur C. Clarke Award for the best book published, the best science fiction book published in the UK that year or the year previously.
And you really enjoyed
it. And I really enjoyed it. I think it's too soon for me to put that in. In the same way that, you know, the Robot on Monk and some of those others, for what it's doing.
Mm. Oh, I understand.
It's a bit too recent. Whereas if I reread Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and thought it was actually a 4 or 4.5 star book, I'd be happy to put that in the list.
Yeah.
And finally, more Peter Watts, Ian and Bags, Alistair Reynolds, Peter Hamilton, but whatever, there's enough of that in here already.
I think so.
And that's why you say, what about The Great North Road? It's like, yeah. Or like four other books by Peter F. Hamilton that could be here. Or like, what about Alistair Reynolds? Yeah, also it could be Terminal World. It could be House of Suns. Yeah. It could be, you know, whatever.
It was just on my list because I rated it highly. So that's why it came up in my list.
It would, it could fit totally. It could be the joining book between Alien Invasion and Police Procedural.
Absolutely. What I said already, this list can act as a starting point.
Yes.
For if there are authors who write lots of books, and you then read one of them and you keep enjoying, keep looking for others that by that author, you will find more enjoyment.
Yeah, for sure. And finally, 4.25 star average rating on Goodreads. So this would come in just between Peter F. Hamilton, Pandora's Star, and Frank Herbert of Dune. There's a book that has that rating on Goodreads. So slightly better than Pandora's Star, slightly less good than Frank Herbert. And that is Get That Rat Off My Face by Luke Burridge.
Nice.
Fancy that. One of my own little novels in the Minding Tomorrow universe that I wrote.
Has Goodreads rating.
It has a very good, it's based on like 20 ratings. So again, of a biased audience. But my other books, none of them are above that height. So in between Pandora's Star 4.23 and Frank Herbert's Dune 4.27 is my novel.
Right.
With as rated by people who...
A data set of 20.
A data set of 20 and people who literally are reading it because they listen to my podcast. Yeah. But I think it's my best book. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Nice.
If you want my best book, if you want to read what I think science fiction could be, read that. Read Minding Tomorrow. Probably stop there. But I did write four novels.
Yeah.
Three of which can be read in any order. And then one novel which wraps up all three previous novels.
Yes, that's
which
true.
Is a bit annoying to read. Like, which order should you read them? Well, the first three in any order. And then that one after you read all three of them. Because otherwise it might be a bit confusing.
Yeah.
But I think Get the Rat Off My Face is more standalone than the others because it's off to the side a bit. All right. An hour and 27, pretty long podcast. I think it's almost dinner time.
It really is. And I'm so hot. I need a shower now.
Yeah. You had a shower earlier. No, you need another shower.
No, I didn't have a shower.
Okay.
Oh, not today.
You had your hair cut yesterday. That's why your hair's looking so nice and smooth. It's not because you just had a shower.
Yes.
It's because you had your hair cut yesterday.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else that you want to say about this? I think we're going to call this the SFBRP. Masterworks would be the easiest one, but it can't be that because, again, that's another well-known. So I think it should be the SFBRP Classics or SFBRP Must Read or SFBRP Intro to Science Fiction. And then I'm going to order them by, you know, they'll be ordered by publication date, you know, like starting off with The Time Machine, going all the way through. So that would be like the default ordering. But as I was going through, I wanted to do the linking. I wanted to now go through doing the linking order.
That makes sense.
Think the linking order is kind of fun.
It's more fun to go through it that way rather than by publication order.
Yeah. I was really surprised, though, actually, with these different things here, with these different links, these different groupings, as I would say, these different links between them.
Yeah.
I was honestly expecting one to be like time travel, but really, I don't think it works just to be just time travel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe there are some books which are time travel, but so often the time travel is like a way into a different thing.
Yeah.
Or, weirdly, the time travel is like a spoiler. Like, you don't want to know it's about time travel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
quite a few of these books do involve some kinds of time travels, but best not
but
to think
not
about
the,
that too much.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You that's know. Not the theme that the book is grappling with. It's just a vehicle to get the story going.
So Soldier Unstuck in Time is the closest that I have to time time travel, even though there's other books which I could just say time travel, but I'd be like, yeah, that's kind of giving it away a bit.
The time machine.
Yeah, the time machine. But even that, that's the earliest version of time travel. And since, like, you know, Back to the Future, like, everybody conceives of what time travel is differently. It can't just be go to another place and try and get back, or go somewhere to another time, have an adventure and come back. Yeah. Like, these days, time travel has to be about, but what about the paradox? Yes. What about solving it? How do we do this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can do it in different ways, like the first 14 lives of Harry August and all these other kind of things where you relive lives over again.
So
I think that's it. I've got through all of my notes and I'm actually really surprised we got through, but we did take an hour and a half to get here.
Yep.
Do you have anything else to add to this, or did you enjoy this exploration of linking
books really
together?
Happy that how my list overlaps with your list.
And
all I did basically was going back on my Goodreads, which is very, very spotty. It's not,
you don't keep it all,
I don't keep, I can't keep track. It's too much to ask.
Did you look at the SFBRP episode list?
No,
as
not
well?
At all.
Oh, okay. Just quite a few of these 5-star books that you were thinking there, but I guess it's just if we think they're good books, they're gonna come up.
Most of them, yeah, I have put on Goodreads, and if they are so outstanding that they are in my head, I will remember them despite them not being on my Goodreads list or not on my ratings at all. So I'm happy with this. It's a good starting point to get into it.
How about canonical SFBRP?
Oh yeah,
the SFBRP canon.
Yeah,
I think that's it. The SFBRP canon.
Okay.
Like, these are the books which we say are in.
Yeah.
And if you want your full education, the SFBRP curriculum, the SFBRP omnibus, the SFBRP
anthology.
What?
Anthology.
The SFBRP anthology. Yeah. So I'll think of which one of these words. Again, should have probably thought about it beforehand, but Masterworks is always in my head.
Yeah.
We can't
so
use that.
Dominating.
Yes. All right, that's it from us. You can go over to sfbrp.com, check out the episode list, this one here, the one that we're talking about.
Yeah.
The anthology canonical SF, whatever it's, you'll find a link at the top of the website there.
Yeah.
Or the sidebar or the menu, you'll find it there. Also check out all of the books that we reviewed. There's like 550 episodes now. You can become our friends on Goodreads. You can suggest books that you want us to read on Goodreads as well. There's the SFBRP listener group there. Go to books I would like to see reviewed.
And
give
Patreon.
Us episode feedback. And and Patreon. Go to patreon.com/LukeBurridge and you can support me and Yuliana and all our reading habits financially by doing that. Amazon gift cards is also nice if you want to make sure your support is specifically for us to get audiobooks and ebooks.
Yeah.
Email me though if you want to do that at luke@juggler.net and I can make sure that you get it gets to the right account.
That's nice.
Because we have a German Amazon
it's
for
tricky.
Juliana
there's
and
no
an American.
Overlapping. Yeah.
All right. So that's it from us. Thanks a lot for listening and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.